Morning, Chuck.
How are you this morning, Susan? Can you hear me? Did you hear me, Susan? Hello? Testing 1, 2.
beach, the beach. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our first responsive canticle is the Te Deum. Let us say together. We praise thee, O God. We acknowledge thee to be the Lord. All the earth doth worship thee, the Father everlasting. To thee all angels cry aloud, the heavens and all the powers therein. To thee cherubim and seraphim continually do cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of Sabaoth. Heaven and earth are full of the majesty of thy glory." The glorious company of the apostles praise thee. The goodly fellowship of the prophets praise thee. The noble army of martyrs praise thee. The holy church throughout all the world doth acknowledge thee. The Father of an infinite majesty, thine adorable, true, and only Son. Also the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Thou art the King of glory, O Christ. Thou art the everlasting Son of the Father. When thou tookest upon thee to deliver man, thou didst humble thyself to be born of a virgin. When thou hast overcome the sharpness of death, thou didst open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Though thou sitteth at the right hand of God, in the glory of the Father, we believe that thou shalt come to be our judge. We therefore pray thee, help thy servants whom thou hast redeemed with thy precious blood. Make them to be numbered with your saints in glory everlasting.
The second reading is from the 20th chapter of John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our second canticle is hymn, Spirit Divine, Attend Our Prayers. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We certainly see the familiar theme of Groundhog Day in the gospel reading that Bruce read for us. After all, the disciples are in the same place that we found them just those 50 days ago when Christ broke through the gates of hell and came, wounds and all, and offered peace. In so many ways, we are right where we all were when Easter 2020 occurred. Many of us haven't even gotten a haircut yet. Most of us haven't hugged anyone outside of our nuclear family since early March. And in this time where we began this quarantine, this great shutdown, to use the term that Peggy Noonan coined in the Wall Street Journal a few weeks ago, we began, like those disciples, huddled together in our separate houses, but full of unity, on one accord, and with kindness towards one another. Neighbors were talking to neighbors, and folks were full of grace and compassion about everybody's decisions and about what to do next. We all recognized our intrinsic needs for each other, even if it was just from a social distance. It felt, I was remarking to a neighbor of mine, like that collective moment that we had right after the horrific events of 9/11. Those moments where we gathered together as anything other than victims of that horrible terrorist attack. And those feelings of collective unity, of need of one another, and of one accord provide just a clear glimpse of the Hebrew word shalom, peace. In other words, shalom is the entirety of peace from beginning to end. It's all encompassing. It's a peace that truly surpasses all understanding. Now, sadly, this unity that marked the beginning of our time of Corona has dried up like the desert over the last few weeks. We're still locked in our houses, yes, but the axis of accord and peace has been shattered. Sin once again has entered the picture. Like the tantalizing serpent that it is, sin or that snake has sowed seeds of mistrust between medical personnel, governmental officials, state and local officials, neighbor and neighbor. It squashed the spirit of grace that once marked our time of quarantine. If you don't believe me, just watch 5 minutes of MSNBC and then 5 minutes of Fox News, 5 minutes of MSNBC and 5 minutes of Fox News, back to back. Flip back and forth a few times, and you'll be utterly shocked at the different narratives that you'll find on each channel. Because that's precisely what sin does, is that it splits things apart. It divides, it separates, it ruptures. In other words, it's the opposite of peace. If you want to watch the manifestation of sin, if you want to watch that, then watch the horrific video of George Floyd's death, the moment where he was pinned to the floor, to the street by a police officer. It's horrifying, incredibly sad, and reminds us of America's original sin, racism, sin that we can try to hide from, but it hasn't gone away. Now, I used to really believe in that term, the sort of post-racial world, until I met a Duke professor, J. Cameron Carter. J. Cam, as he was known, was my age when I was in seminary, and he was a brilliant African-American scholar. He had a PhD in religious studies from UVA, and we both shared an affinity for bow ties. And one evening after class, and we were having a long conversation about racism, and he told me a story of dropping off one of his children at a play date in Hope Valley. Hope Valley is a neighborhood in Durham that's very prestigious. It is majority white and has been that way since it was built in the 1950s as the white flight occurred out of downtown Durham because of integration. And so after dropping off his son, he came to a stop sign and saw those blue lights behind him, he described. He was shocked and curious, and he pulled over, and the officer asked what he was doing and who he was visiting. And the officer then explained, after J. Cam said, "I was just dropping my son off," that they had had some robberies the night before and that they're just running extra patrols throughout the neighborhood. Now, I don't know about you, but I do know that I've never been pulled over because of robberies in the neighborhood the night before. I've never been pulled over that way. And that story has constantly stuck with me since he told me that a little over 7 years, 8 years ago. That's what sin does. Sin attacks the peace. George Floyd is just a tragic reminder of this reality. Even more tragic is that Floyd was a mentor to young black men without fathers and those that were struggling to get away from criminal elements and drugs. Simply put, George Floyd was spreading the gospel the breath of peace and love to people that needed it. Houston pastor Nigwalo said, George Floyd was a person of peace sent from the Lord that helped the gospel go forward in a place that I've never lived in. But it was ruptured by sin. That's what sin does. It ruptures our peace. Floyd's earthly life was cut short by the sin of racism. And then sadly, it's created a powder keg of emotions and discords, pouring fuel on an already weary world and country. As I heard the sirens last night just on my back porch, I prayed and wondered about what was happening in downtown Roanoke. Sin ripping apart this country and our neighbors once again. Now, Jesus understands sin. He understands it better than anyone because he bore all of our sins. And not just ours, but the whole world's when he hung on the cross. He broke the bondage of sin and death. He closed the chasm that sin had created between us and God. St. Paul writes in Hebrews, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We are redeemed. But sin still lurks around every corner and every habitation, waiting for a chance like that wicked coronavirus to infect and to rupture peace, to release the spring-loaded hammer and set off a literal riot. Sin becomes a lived reality then for you and me. And Jesus understands this too, that even though we've been reconciled to God, that sin is still alive in our lives and that we need help. We need help. And so after the resurrection, on that very first night, Jesus shows up, and as per his normal course, he drops hints of things to come, and he begins to telegraph the next big important thing. He says, peace be with you when he shows up, ushering in peace, the reconciliation between us and God that was wrought on the cross. And then he breathes on them. Then he breathes on them. And says, receive the Holy Spirit. And he alludes to forgiveness as the fruit of this Spirit. Now, this scene foreshadows the great gathering in the Acts of the Apostles, the tongues on fire moment, the moment when shalom brings every nation, every race, every tongue together in an act that's so powerful that it can only be Jesus at work. It is only the breath of the Holy Spirit that can weave and knit together all of those desperate nations, races, and tongues. And that's a scene that we would clamor for today, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we all give away the farm to have that with one another? The bad news, the news that you already know, is that the stone of sin cannot be broken by human hands. It just can't. We can, however, be honest and truthful about the power of sin in the world. We can call a sin, and then we can also acknowledge our need for help. Our help to break the bonds of sin, to chisel the stone away, to crush sin. Our need for help, for relief, for a savior. And that's the good news of the gospel is that we have help, our Lord, our Maker, Jesus Christ, who gives us, breathes on us the gift of the Holy Spirit, the breath of the Lord that can and will bring about peace, that does squash sin, that does overcome death and bring new life, that does heal us. That's the breath of the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. There is a powerful scene for how this happens. This good news, our only hope. It's in the final scene of C.S. Lewis's great novel, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. As a quick refresher, Aslan is the lion in the trilogy, and he is the Christ figure, and he's just returned from the dead. And as he comes back, he goes around and he breathes on all the creatures that have been turned to stone, that have been hardened by the wicked witch, aka sin. Lewis describes it this way: I expect you've seen someone put a lighted match to a bit of newspaper, which is propped up in a grate against an unlit fire. And for a second, nothing seems to have happened. And then you notice a tiny streak of flame creeping along the edge of the newspaper. It was like that now. For a second after Aslan had breathed upon him, the stone lion looked just the same. And then a tiny streak of gold began to run along his white marble back. And then it spread, and then the color seemed to lick all over him as the flame licks all over a bit of paper. Then, while his hindquarters were still obviously stone, the lion shook his mane, and all the heavy stony folds ripped into living hair. And then he opened a great red mouth, warm and living, and gave a prodigious yawn. And now his hind legs had come to life, and he lifted one of them and scratched himself. Then, having caught sight of Aslan, he went bounding after him and frisking around him, whimpering with delight and jumping up to lick his face. What Lewis is describing for us is that scene of new life, new creation, of peace, of harmony, of one accord, of all nations and all races and all tongues being brought together by our Lord Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the good news, is that God will bring us together. We pray that it comes now, but we know that it will come and that God will save us. Amen.
Let us affirm our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, saying together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, show thy mercy upon us.
And grant us thy salvation.
Endue thy ministers with righteousness.
And make thy chosen people joyful.
Give peace, O Lord, in all the world.
For only in thee can we live in safety.
Lord, keep this nation under thy care.
And guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let thy way be known upon earth,
thy saving health among all nations.
Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten,
nor the hope of the poor be taken away.
Create in us clean hearts, O God,
and sustain us with thy Holy Spirit.
We pray together for our human family. We give thanks for the risen Christ, our hope and the author and perfecter of our faith. We give thanks for the Holy Spirit, and we ask for the Spirit to work for new life, creation, and for the experience of peace to be felt by all. Please pray with me. I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for Justin, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael, the presiding bishop, Mark, our bishop, for this gathering, and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. I ask your prayers for the world battling the coronavirus. I ask your prayers for America and for all of those affected by racism. We pray for Donald, our president, Ralph, our governor, and Mary Bess, the mayor of our town. Give them all, O Lord, wisdom, clarity, and right discernment in this time of pandemic and civil unrest. Pray for the world. I ask your prayers for healthcare workers, first responders, the National Guard and our military, who with hearts of service stand on the front lines of providing care. Grant them courage and protection as they put the needs of public safety before their own. I ask your prayers for the delivery personnel, grocery store workers, and all who keep our supply chain moving and our households with the goods to remain safe and in good care. Pray for those keeping us safe and healthy. I ask your prayers for those whose jobs have been affected by this virus. We pray for those feeling economic uncertainty. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, victims of racism, and those in prison. We pray especially for those isolated because of the coronavirus. We pray for all of those on our weekly parish prayer list, remembering especially Bobby Wade, and any we name at this time, either silently or aloud. Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of Him. Pray that they may find and be found by Jesus. Pray for all who do not know Him or reject Him, that they will experience Jesus' love and grace. I ask your prayers for the departed, remembering especially George Floyd. Pray for those who have died. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day.
Let us pray the collect appointed for this Sunday, Whit Sunday. Almighty God, on this day didst open the way of eternal life to every race and nation by the promised gift of thy Holy Spirit. Shed abroad this gift throughout the world by the preaching of the gospel, that it may reach to the ends of the earth through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the same Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. O most mighty and merciful God, in this time of grievous sickness, we flee unto thee for succor. Deliver us, we beseech thee, from our peril. Give strength and skill to all those who minister to the sick. Prosper the means made use of for their cure. And grant that, perceiving how frail and uncertain our life is, we may apply our hearts unto that heavenly wisdom which leadeth to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, who didst stretch out thine arms of love on the hard wood of the cross, that everyone might come within the reach of thy saving embrace, so clothe us in thy Spirit, that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know thee to the knowledge and love of thee, for the honor of thy name. Amen. Let us say together the general thanksgiving. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, thine unworthy servants, do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all men. We bless thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for thine inestimable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we show forth thy praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to thy service, and by walking before thee in holiness, righteousness, all our days through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, who has given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplication unto thee, and hath promised through thy well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together in his name, thou wilt be in the midst of them. Fulfill now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of thy servants, as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of thy truth, in the world to come, life everlasting. Amen. Our closing hymn is Come Down, O Love Divine. May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Free for all. Hallelujah.
Hi, Ann Palmer. And hey, Charlie. Buddy. And Buster. Hey, Willis.
Hey.
Great sermon.
Great service, Willis.
Thank you for that. Some of us had trouble getting on today.
Wonderful. That was wonderful, Willis. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Willis.
It was a lovely service.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Shaman.
We needed to hear that.
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah,
good sermon.
Thanks, Malin.
Very powerful.
Great job, Matt Rossi, serving for his second Sunday castle.
What I want to know is where is everybody's red Pentecost?
Oh, hey, Mike Parrish.
Oh, that's true.
I got some. I got some red pews in here, Penny. I got some red carpet.
Has his red on under there.
All right, Brett. There you go.
Red shirt.
Red on.
Got a red shirt.
You got yours on, Brett. What have you got, Willis?
I think Lisa's got red on as well.
Yeah, why are we wearing
this today?
At the church we go to in Florida. Harold's got some on. Red flags, and they're huge, and they march around, and they're huge. I swear each flag probably costs $5,000, and they have 100 of them. But anyway, it's a real wealthy church, but it's real moving to see them all, these red flags. Banners.
I see the puppy. He's with the Mimi.
Oh, Mimi.
Hey, Mimi.
Hi. How are you? Great service, Willis.
Good service, Willis.
Thanks, Mimi. Thanks, Matt Hunt.
Good service, Willis. Hey. I was a little late getting on. I couldn't get on. Oh, there she is.
How'd you hear?
Willis, pretty music.
Didn't see the people.
Yes. Good.
Hey, Grant.
I'm here. Bye, everyone.